Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
My name is Susie Haynes, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Saturday, November 5th, 2022. Abbott appeals to Midlanders. Governor touts state as number one to crowd of supporters, by Ben Schaefer. Governor Greg Abbott held a rally 4 days before Election Day at Michael's Charcoal Grill on Friday. The incumbent governor detailed his stance on the economy, public safety, President Joe Biden's border policies, and keeping Texas a prominent oil and gas producer. "You cannot be in a better state," Abbott said, "because Texas ranks number one for the strongest, fastest-growing economy of any state in the United States of America." The Republican added that since his re-election in 2018, years ago, Texas has added far more jobs than any other state. "We cannot take that for granted because what Beto O'Rourke has been talking about," Abbott said. "He's been talking about increasing your taxes, increasing regulations, and increasing spending your money." Abbott said he is running for re-election to keep Texas the number one state for oil and gas production. He denounced O'Rourke's embracing of the Green New Deal, which, according to Abbott, would destroy oil and gas production in the state. "There are people in here who will lose a job if he gets elected," Abbott said. He said Texas has a record-setting budget surplus of $27 billion and claimed the Permian Basin has contributed greatly to the flourishing state economy. He said the state must spend the surplus in the next 2 years, and it will use it to improve schools and health care. Abbott said he'd commit at least half of the surplus funds toward the largest property tax cut in the history of Texas. The governor discussed law enforcement and crime in Texas, saying that during his term, he signed a law that will defund any city that defunds their local law enforcement entities. "Even more dangerous than defunding the police is the chaos that's been caused by Joe Biden's and the Democrats' open border policies," he added. Abbott said that 2 years ago, the lowest number of Mexican immigrants were illegally crossing the southern border in decades. "Texans and Americans are angry at Joe Biden and what he's done," said Abbott, who recognized the National Guard and Department of Public Safety officers. Abbott recently made national headlines for busing loads of immigrants to cities like Washington, D.C. and New York City. "Not in my backyard," Abbott claimed, was the general message from Democratic Party leaders in those cities when the buses arrived. He then addressed the persistent threat of the dangerous narcotic fentanyl and its relation to the southern border. He said 17,000 people have died from fentanyl overdose and reminded the audience of the executive order he passed on September 21st, declaring Mexican drug cartels as terrorist organizations. Abbott said a lot is on the line this election and claimed his connection to West Texas allows him to understand the values of West Texans, which he claimed were far different than Beto O'Rourke's values. BizBuzz. Business helps Spanish speakers. Recurso Hispano serves West Texas Hispanic entrepreneurial community, by Ben Schaefer. Larissa A. Menjarez, president of Recurso Hispano, called her business a unique bridge between Midland's English-speaking and Spanish-speaking communities. Menjarez formed Recurso Hispano, Hispanic Resources, with the intention of being a strategic business partner for the Hispanic entrepreneurial community in West Texas. She began conducting free seminars on how to start a business at Casa de Amigos in Midland and venues in Odessa 5 years ago. After attendees of Menjarez' seminars got their businesses up and running, they continued to contact Menjarez for assistance in management. Accounting seemed to be the biggest need that there was, Menjarez said. She added that she began assisting new business owners by explaining accounting and management tactics in layman terms that all could understand. She claimed most larger accounting and consulting firms don't have the time to work with their clients as closely as her team has been able to. Though Recurso Hispano represents English-speaking clients, it was originally intended to provide educational business resources for Hispanic business owners, which Minhars claimed was lacking in the area. "We make up a huge part of our community, and there definitely is a lack of services within the community and more so in Spanish," she said. Minhars said census data showed that 80% of people within the Spanish community are Spanish-speaking, and said other cities with a large Hispanic community have implemented resources in Spanish. "Everything that they have in their community, El Paso, South Texas, like they're announcing at Target in English and in Spanish. It's not like that here," she said. "There aren't enough resources for new business owners that are in Spanish and available for Spanish speakers," according to Minhars. Recurso Hispano's website is in Spanish. A native Midlander, Minhars said there is no community like Midland in terms of giving. 1,500 nonprofits in Midland and another 1,500 nonprofits in Odessa. "I love being a part of a giving community," she said. She added that the tall city is slowly becoming more inclusive. None of Recurso Hispano's clients went out of business during the pandemic, and each one of them made the same amount of profit as they did pre-pandemic or more, Minhars said. One key that Minhars shared when it comes to success in her field of business is surrounding oneself with quality people and business partners. Crude prices surge past $92. Market analyst, $100 oil is coming, by Mella McEwen. Energy commodities rallied on the prospect that China, the world's second largest economy, will loosen its pandemic rules, possibly opening the floodgates for oil demand that has been stifled by the country's zero-tolerance COVID-19 policies. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange rebounded to levels not seen since August, soaring $4.44 Friday to close the week at $92.61 per barrel, up from $87.90 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $89.09, according to Plains All American. Lance Taylor, founder, chief executive officer, and president of Steward Energy 2, which is active in the horizontal San Andreas play of Gaines and Yoakum counties, Texas and Lee County, New Mexico, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview that his play is active at prices well below current levels. "Our play is economic below $20. We don't like $20, but we can operate at $20, he said. "Even in a $75 environment, our economics are incredible." He added he believes there are policies in place to support higher prices for some time to come. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas, at Awanda, predicted $100 oil in the daily newsletter he sends via mail. $100 oil is coming as the U.S. service sector labor market remains robust and on expectations supplies will remain tight, he wrote. The oil market shouldn't expect a lot of new wells as oil and gas extraction jobs only rose by 400 in October. Of the speculation, China is about to loosen its pandemic rules. He wrote that the country's zero-tolerance rules have capped crude demand, and if that roars back, that alone could send oil prices 5% regardless of global economic slowdown fears. "There are too many geopolitical risks on the table that should keep oil's trajectory higher," Moya concluded. "And if the dollar continues to slide here, oil's strength could be relentless. The numbers game, as in storage numbers and temperatures, kept natural gas prices jumping on the New York Mercantile Exchange as they moved sharply up and sharply down, throughout the week. Gas prices at Henry Hub opened the week climbing 67 cents above $6 per MCF, only to fall 64 cents Tuesday, rising 55 cents Wednesday, and falling 29 cents Thursday, before gaining 42 cents to end the week at $6.40 per MCF, well above the $5.68 close last Friday. This week, like so many others this year, has certainly seen its fair share of wild swings. Leticia Gonzalez, Price and Markets editor with Natural Gas Intelligence, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Despite the mostly mild near-term outlook, weather was the main driver of this week's surge in prices. While there are some discrepancies between the major weather models, it looks like cold weather will finally arrive in the United States later this month and should drive up gas demand for heating, particularly in the central and eastern regions of the country, she said. The timing of the upcoming cold is significant. Freeport LNG has indicated that it could restart operations at its export terminal off the upper Texas coast sometime this month, Gonzalez continued. This is far from certain, but the gas market doesn't need much to rally. This week is a perfect example. What's up with Midland? Bush Tennis Center All-American Veterans Barbecue Cook-Off, November 11th through 12th. Horseshoe Complex, Heart Energy Executive Oil Conference, November 15th through 16th, the Gifty Grinchmas Market, November 18th through 19th, Silver Spur Trade Show, November 19th through 20th, Cardin International Circus, November 21st, La Hacienda Event Center, Los Dos Carnales, Vals de Mondo, Canales y la Explosiva, November 11th. Gary Allen, November 18th, Grupo Arriesgado, Los Tres de la Palma y Adolfo Urias, November 25th, Little Woodrose Drinksgiving, November 23rd, Midland Community Theater of Men and Cars, November 11th through 12th, A Christmas Carol, November 25th through 27th, Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, Saturday, November 12th and 26th. Brewster's Backyard, Treaty Oak Revival, November 12th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Tim Allen, Must Be 18 or Over, November 11th. Chavo Rucas Tour, November 13th. Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent, November 15th. Joe Bonamassa, The Guitar Event of the Year, November 16th. A Magical Cirque Christmas, November 20th, and Lindsay Sterling Snow Waltz Tour, November 21st. Community Roundup. Keep Texas Beautiful recognizes Keep Midland Beautiful. Keep Texas Beautiful has recognized Keep Midland Beautiful as a recipient of a 2022 Green Bag Grant. Through funding from HEB and Central Market, Keep Texas Beautiful is providing 10 affiliate communities with a share of $25,000 to support educational and programmatic opportunities relating to sustainability, recycling, litter prevention, beautification, and water conservation. To assist with the implementation of their project, Midland has received $2,000 to begin and support a proposed community project. KTB will also provide additional social media and marketing support. Keep Midland Beautiful will complete its project by July 2023. The project this year is to provide incentive prizes for local campuses in the area of green, recycle, clean, litter, and beautification during KMB's fifth annual Clean Campus Competition in April. Punt, Pass, and Kick Competition. All boys and girls ages 6 through 15 will have the opportunity to exhibit their football skills when the City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division hosts the Punt, Pass, and Kick Competition at 6 p.m. Wednesday at Astound Broadband Stadium. Participants are encouraged to register online at ppkusa.com/participant-registration. Pop Spot Midland returns. After a successful show in the spring of 2022, Midland's famous pop-up shopping experience will return to the Busch Convention Center this holiday season, November 10th through 11th. Guests will have the opportunity to peruse from over 70 vendors. Attendees are encouraged to purchase $20 VIP tickets and enjoy an exclusive cocktail hour, swag bags filled with one-time offers from local West Texas businesses, and chic shopping experience from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. on November 10th. VIP ticket sales will be donated directly in support of the Boys and Girls Club of the Permian Basin and the West Texas Food Bank. Free general admission shopping will begin at 10 a.m. on November 11th at the Busch Convention Center. Keep Midland Beautiful, Tree Keepers, Diamondback City plants 65 trees in Northwest Midland. Diamondback Energy, the City of Midland, and Keep Midland Beautiful Tree Keepers partnered Friday to plant 65 trees at Grassland Park, 2500 Crowley Boulevard. The planting of various types of drought-tolerant trees that grow well in the region's climate helped celebrate Texas Arbor Day, according to a press release. This planting is made possible with the support of Diamondback Energy funding, a press release from Keep Midland Beautiful stated. This tree planting will be a fun way to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Texas Arbor Day by planting 65 trees to complete the promise by Diamondback Energy to plant 100 trees in Midland in 2022. HEB brings Feast to Horseshoe Homebound Seniors by Mercedes Cordero. Senior Life Midland partnered with HEB to lend support to the homebound seniors of Meals on Wheels. This week, HEB sponsored Meals on Wheels in hopes to bring Feast of Sharing to the homebound elderly who could not attend the event at the Horseshoe. HEB also volunteered and delivered meals on a local route, serving more than just a meal. We are honored to partner with HEB each year to help bring a sense of warmth and comfort to our homebound seniors of Meals on Wheels during this annual event, said Kathleen Kieran Haney, Executive Director of Senior Life Midland. It's truly a blessing to let our homebound know they are not forgotten and they are cherished. Now more than ever, our community has a better understanding of what it means to be isolated. Thank you, HEB, for bringing the community to our homebound during the annual Feast of Sharing event. Launched in 1989, HEB's Feast of Sharing regularly serves more than 340,000 meals annually in 34 cities throughout Texas and Mexico. Over the more than three decades HEB has held the celebration, more than 375,000 volunteers have helped serve more than 4 million meals, says Alyssa Owens, Public Affairs, MWFD. This initiative is an important part of HEB's Hunger Relief Program, which works year-round to prevent hunger in the more than 300 communities HEB serves. Senior Life Midland has a long-standing history of meeting the daily needs of Midland seniors through programs such as Meals on Wheels and other homebound services. Each weekday, 500 homebound seniors receive well-balanced, nutritious meals and a vital safety check from a trained volunteer. Unemployment plummets for shale patch workers as U.S. explorers vie for crews, by David Weth and Katerina Sarajeva. Unemployment in the U.S. oil industry plummeted to one of the lowest levels on record as shale explorers scramble for workers to keep production flowing. The jobless rate fell to 0.8% in October from 2.5% in the prior month on an unadjusted basis, government figures released Friday show. That compares with an unemployment rate of 10% a year ago and matches the level set in July. Labor shortages in the oil field have been one of the biggest hurdles holding back production growth. Some frac service providers, including Halliburton Company, who must hire crew members to staff their fleets, are having to transfer labor from other U.S. regions in order to operate in various shale fields. Chris Wright, Chief Executive Officer for Liberty Energy Incorporated, has called this the most difficult hiring market since the oilfield service company was launched in 2011. At the same time, oil producers are under fire from politicians, including President Joe Biden, to increase output. Biden has slammed companies for their multi-billion dollar profits and has vowed to impose a so-called windfall tax as the administration tries to deflect blame for high fuel prices at the pump. The number of workers employed in U.S. oil and gas jobs totaled 135,600 last month, down 3.5% from this year's peak in July. U.S. Texas drilling inches up, Permian is flat. Enverus, Pioneer Natural Resources, is most active driller in Permian with 23 rigs, by Mella McEwen. Drilling activity was little changed as the U.S. and Texas rig counts inched higher this week. The Permian Basin held steady for a third week. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said in the weekly rig count it has issued since the 1940s that the U.S. rig count rose 2 to 770, the third weekly increase in the last 4 weeks. The count is also 40% or 220 rigs over the 550 reported last November. The number of rigs seeking crude oil rose by 3 to 613, the highest level since March 2020, and 163 more than the 450 drilling for oil a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dipped by 1 to 155, the lowest since late July, and 55 more than the 100 drilling for gas last year. Texas added one rig for 369, 115 more than the 254 at work statewide the previous November. New Mexico was unchanged at 106 rigs. North Dakota 2, Oklahoma 1, and Wyoming 1 joined Texas as producing states to see slight gains for the week, while California 2 and Louisiana 1 saw declines. For the third consecutive week, the Permian Basin reported 346 rigs, 75 more than the 271 that were active across the region a year ago. Lee County, New Mexico remained the most active county in the Permian Basin with 63 rigs, down 4 for the week and the steepest drop of the week. Eddy County, New Mexico followed with 40 rigs, up 4 for the week and the sharpest jump. Reeves County added 2 rigs for 37, followed by Martin County with 36 rigs, up 1. Midland County lost 1 rig for 30 for the week. Loving County reported 24 rigs for a second week. Upton County continued to report 19 rigs at work within county lines, and Howard County reported 18 rigs for a fourth week. Ward County had 16 rigs for a second week, and Glasscock County reported 14 rigs for a seventh week. Energy-focused software, as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count high point of 887 for the week ended November 2nd, marked a 7-rig dip from the previous week's peak, but an increase of 1% from a month earlier and a 31% year-over-year increase. The Permian was up by 3 to 334 rigs, Appalachia was up 2 to 59, and the Anadarko Basin added a rig at 84. The DJ was flat at 23. The Gulf Coast and Williston Basin saw week-over-week declines, with the former down by 6 rigs to 115 and the latter losing 1 rig to settle at 42. The Permian Basin rig count hit a 2022 high in the last week. A total of 89 operators are running rigs, compared to 65 a year ago, and 6 operators are running 15 rigs or more. Pioneer Natural Resources is the most active driller with 23 rigs, Mewbourne Oil is running 20, Occidental Petroleum has 19, EOG Resources 18, ExxonMobil 16, and Devon Energy 15. Exxon added the most rigs in the last year at 8, followed by Oxy 6, EOG 5, Diamondback Energy 5 for a total of 14, and Chevron 5 to reach 12. The 84 active rigs in the Anadarko Basin equaled the 2022 high. A total of 49 companies are drilling wells there currently, compared to 39 a year ago. Continental Resources is the most active at 7 rigs, followed by Citizen Energy 5, Camino Natural Resources 4, Mewbourne Oil 4, Devon Energy 4, and Paloma Resources 4. Paloma and BCE Mach 3 have rigged up the most in the last year, each adding 2. Crenshaw, Election Deniers Know They're Lying, by Matthew Choi. Members of Congress who contested the 2020 election results admitted behind closed doors that they know their cause is false, U.S. Representative Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Houston, said on his podcast, published Wednesday, offering his sternest rebuke yet of his party's rejection of President Joe Biden's win. Speaking with former congressional candidate and election reform advocate Nick Troiano on his podcast, Hold These Truths, the Texas Republican said fellow members of his party were merely trying to signal their disapproval of former President Donald Trump's loss, but knew there was no real mechanism to overturn it. Still, he warned that messaging could dangerously lead to voters losing faith in the electoral process. It was always a lie. The whole thing was always a lie. And it was a lie meant to rile people up, Crenshaw said, deriding some of his peers as political personalities rather than politicians. He did not name the members he was referring to. People just need their last hurrah. They just need to feel like they fought one last time, he added. Other members told him, trust me, it'll be fine. And I was like, no, it won't. That's not what people believe, and that's not what you're telling them. Trump has been widely expected to run for office again in 2024, and Axios reported Friday that the former president could formally announce his bid on November 14th, shortly after the midterm elections. Crenshaw was among a handful of Texas Republicans to vote against GOP objections to the results of the 2020 presidential election. Although the objections delayed the certification of the results, culminating in the violent attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021, the effort was always doomed to fail with a Democratic majority in the House. Members of both parties have since advanced legislation to make objecting to election results more difficult, including increased thresholds for lawmakers to file an objection and clarifying the vice president's role in certifying elections as purely ceremonial. The measures have so far enjoyed wide bipartisan support. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, was the only holdout on the Senate Rules Committee to oppose the bill. Cruz continues to decline to say that President Joe Biden was legitimately elected, though he has come to terms with the current occupant of the White House. Crenshaw has spoken frequently against members of his party who he said focus primarily on projecting conservative soundbites over serious legislating, calling them the woke right. That arm of the party, he said, will likely only keep growing with more hardline Republicans in tow, with Trump running in favorable districts this year. Republicans are widely expected to win control of the U.S. House in the next Congress. This extreme willingness to say the most extreme things just to grab people's attention and then the people's willingness to believe some of it, Crenshaw said on the podcast. There was no evidence of widespread voter fraud that would have undermined the reported results of the 2020 presidential election, and the Trump administration implicitly acknowledged Biden's victory by kicking off, though belatedly, the presidential transition in mid-November that year. Biden pledges come to the Lord showdown with big oil over high prices for energy by Justin Sink and Akela Gardner. President Joe Biden said he plans to soon confront oil company executives over energy prices as he sought to stave off sweeping Democratic losses in congressional elections next week. "I'm working like hell to deal with the energy prices," Biden said at Viasat Incorporated headquarters in Carlsbad, California on Friday. "I'm going to have a little, as they say, come to the Lord talk with the oil companies pretty soon." Biden didn't elaborate, but on Monday suggested imposing a windfall tax on oil company profits for companies without sufficient reinvestment in production. High inflation, particularly for food and energy, threatens to end Democratic control of Congress next week when voters cast ballots for all 435 House seats and about a third of the Senate. Biden has frequently complained that oil companies are in part to blame for elevated prices at gasoline pumps and escalated his criticism of the industry as the midterm elections approached. Gasoline prices averaged $5.48 a gallon in California on Thursday, according to the AAA Motor Club. The national average was $3.79. Prices have been rising again in recent weeks after a decline since June, when the national average peaked at more than $5 a gallon. Dear Abby, woman's temper torpedoes rocky three-year romance. Dear Abby, I'm a 59-year-old single man who was dating a 42-year-old woman for the past 3 years. The whole time we dated, she was going through a divorce. I supported her and helped her through it. The papers were signed 4 months ago. Her relationship with her ex started when she was 16 and lasted 26 years. They have a 14-year-old daughter together. Their relationship was emotionally abusive. We had a lot in common and loved doing things together, but our relationship was rocky. During the times we were together, we split up 3 times because she would get upset with me over simple things but would never have a conversation to try and work it out. She has a short fuse and her temper goes from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat. Our 4th argument was our last. She told me to take my things and get out. I love her, and when I told her so many times, she would respond the same. I love her more than I can explain in words. I'm not her ex. I'm nothing like him. I've done things for her that any woman would melt over. She told me on my way out the door that she doesn't want a relationship and never did. She wants to be left alone. After all the time I invested in us, I was crushed. We are still friends on Facebook. If I text her, she will read it but won't respond. Should I give up and move on or let her figure her life out and hope she realizes we had something special? Pushed Aside in Pennsylvania. Dear Pushed Aside, when a woman with a fuse that goes from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat tells you she doesn't want a relationship with you and never did, it's safe to conclude that for the past 3 years you have been used. Has it occurred to you that the verbal abuser in her past relationship may have been her? Please, for your own sake, take the hint. Look for someone who will appreciate and return the love and kindness you offer. Although you may not think so now, you have just dodged a bullet. Dear Abby, my little sister and I got along great as kids. We played together a lot, and even when we made new friends and grew different interests, we promised to always have each other's back. In high school, I befriended and eventually started dating a girl my family adored, my sister included. After 9 years, we have finally become engaged, but now my sister has grown hostile towards us. She never hinted that she disliked my fiancé before, and nobody in our family can get a reason from her. My mother wants her to be part of our wedding, but with this change in her behavior, I'm not comfortable with the idea. Did I do something wrong? Should I question her to get to the bottom of this? Baffled brother. Dear Baffled, definitely do that. If you approach it privately, your sister may be more comfortable answering you honestly. It may be she's afraid of losing the close relationship she has enjoyed with you all these years. If that's the case, you may be able to reassure her. If it's something else, she might be reluctant to discuss in the presence of other relatives. Talking one-on-one will better your chances of getting her to disclose what's bothering her. Obituaries. Clinton Harvey Adams. Clinton Harvey Adams was born August 15, 1934, in Carpenter, Oklahoma, to Frank and Mary Elizabeth Isner Adams. He is survived by his wife and best friend, Carlene, daughters Gina Marie Faust, Laura Elizabeth Martin, and three grandchildren. Also survived by brother Larry Adams and special friend and stepson Ray Williams. He also has two great-granddaughters and a sister-in-law, Diane Noel. In keeping with his wishes, services will be private. Prayers for the family would be greatly appreciated. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezetfh.com. Mae Atkinson Cougar. Mae Atkinson Cougar, Maddie, was born November 30, 1940, in Liberty, Texas, to Marvin and Frankie Atkinson. She passed away peacefully at her residence on October 21, 2022. She is preceded in death by her husband, parents, brothers Wayne and Ronnie Atkinson, and sister Velda Gay. She is survived by her daughter Kim Bland, son Paul Cougar, six grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. An interment ceremony will be held at Fairview Cemetery in Midland on Monday, November 14th at 1 o'clock p.m. Arrangements directed under Andrews Corgill Funeral Home. Miguel Castaneda. Miguel Castaneda, 60, of Midland, Texas, passed away on October 29, 2022, in Midland, Texas. Miguel Castaneda was born in Carrizo Springs, Texas, to Marcos Castaneda and Mary Gonzalez on November 5, 1961. He is preceded in death by Rudy Gonzalez and Marcos Anthony Reese. Miguel Castaneda is survived by his children, Heather Castaneda, Michael Castaneda, Amanda Murillo, Felix Hall, and Alicia Castaneda. He also has six siblings and six grandchildren. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 10, 2022, at Abundant Life Ministries, 511 South Stonewall in Midland, Texas. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, November 11, 2022, at Abundant Life Ministries with Pastor Jesse Arispe officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services.
Hello, this is Michael, reading the first few articles out of the Odessa American, published Saturday, November 5th, 2022. Front page. Chevron flourishes in third quarter. Permian Basin production up 15%. By Bob Campbell. In what Chairman CEO Mike Wirth calls a challenging and dynamic macroeconomic and geopolitical environment, the Chevron Corporation reports a highly successful third quarter of 2022 with earnings of $11.2 billion, compared to $6.1 billion in the third quarter last year. Our strategy remains clear and consistent, and our results keep getting better, Wirth said. While future market conditions are uncertain, we're well positioned to deliver value to our shareholders in any environment. Year to date, the Permian Basin production is a little over 700,000 barrels a day, up 15% from the first three quarters of last year, which was just a touch over 600,000. So we're seeing good growth. For the third quarter itself, production was up 10% at 708,000 barrels a day versus 646,000 in the same quarter last year. Worth said Chevron's inventory of drilled but uncompleted wells grew a lot during the pandemic. We didn't need to frack wells and bring them online when there was declining demand for production, he said. We kept some drilling going, so that inventory grew. As we went back to work, the first thing we did was send completion crews out and start to bring the DUCs online. Earlier this week, we released our methane report with specific disclosures about our aim to be a leader in methane emissions management, Worth said last Friday. Our goal is simple, keep the methane in the pipe. Reporting from company headquarters in San Ramon, California, Chevron Chief Financial Officer Pierre Breber said third quarter business included $177 million of pension settlement costs. We repurchased shares at the high end of our guidance range and ended the quarter with a net debt ratio under 5%, Breber said. For the sixth consecutive quarter, Chevron's free cash flow exceeded $5 billion and we're on track to beat 2021's free cash flow record. Breber said growth in the Permian Basin was offset by the expiration of contracts in Thailand and Indonesia and the sale of the company's Eagle Ford assets in the shale formation that runs from the U.S.-Mexico border between Laredo and Eagle Pass through the counties east of Waco and Temple. Now we're looking ahead in the fourth quarter. We're expecting a modest turnaround, he said. After producing a record number of liquefied natural gas cargoes in third quarter, we expect fewer spot cargoes out of Australia due to maintenance and summer temperatures. In the third quarter, Breber said, the company got a dividend from Angola LNG, and it expects fourth quarter dividends from that company and from TCO, its oil operator in Kazakhstan. OPD seeking man following crash. The Odessa Police Department is asking for the public's help in finding a 31-year-old man they say used a vehicle to severely injure one man and hurt others. According to an OPD news release, officers and paramedics were dispatched to a major crash in the 1000 block of West Monahans Friday morning, but when they arrived, they discovered there was no accident. The police have obtained several felony warrants for William Earl Creighton Jr., who they allege used a vehicle to hurt multiple people inside an apartment, severely damaging the apartment in the process, the news release stated. One of the victims sustained several severe injuries. Creighton abandoned the vehicle and fled the scene, according to the news release. If anyone has information regarding the whereabouts of Creighton, contact the Odessa Police Department or Crime Stoppers 432-333-TIPS. According to Ector County court records, an assault family violence case against Creighton was dismissed in June 2010 because the alleged victim signed an affidavit of non-prosecution. Santa schedules landing at Music City Mall. Santa is scheduled to arrive via helicopter November 19th at Music City Mall. The arrival festivities begin at 9 a.m. Saturday, November 19th at Music City Mall, located at 4101 East 42nd Street. There will be a school chorale performance at 9:30 a.m. After the chorale performance, Santa will land at 10:30 a.m. and a live roller skate show will follow at 11 a.m. at the MCM Rink and Roll.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, November 5th. Local news roundup. Travis third grader arrested. ECISD police on Friday arrested a third grade student at Travis Elementary for a terroristic threat, a Class B misdemeanor. The boy had a pocket knife, showed it to a friend, and then told the friend he would hurt him if he told anyone, a news release said. The friend did report it, leading to the police investigation. Lane closure begins Monday on Dixie Boulevard. Beginning Monday, the City of Odessa announced there will be a right-hand lane closure for northbound traffic along Dixie Boulevard. The press release detailed the closure will be between 38th Street and 42nd and is expected to take up to 2 weeks. City of Odessa contractors will be removing and replacing curb and gutter at the corner of Walnut Avenue and Dixie Boulevard. Drivers are asked to use caution and expect delays within this location. Officer finds meth, heroin, on traffic stop. An Odessa police officer who pulled a man over for driving 17 miles over the speed limit ended up seizing more than 67 grams of methamphetamine and 5 grams of heroin Wednesday afternoon. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer pulled Chris James Gross of Monahans over in the Walmart parking lot on John Ben Shepherd Parkway after his sergeant spotted him traveling 62 in a 45 mile per hour zone in a Nissan Pathfinder. The officer became suspicious of the 36-year-old because he was shaking profusely and his driver's license and car registration were listed under different addresses, and the insurance card he provided was under someone else's name. The report stated the officer knows people tend to use multiple different addresses when commonly engaged in criminal activity, as it's harder for law enforcement to monitor or find persons. Gross agreed to let the officer search his vehicle, and the officer's canine partner alerted to the presence of drugs in the vehicle. According to the report, during the ensuing search, the officer found 67.4 grams of meth in the Nissan and 5.2 grams of heroin in Gross's pants. Gross was booked into Ector County Jail on suspicion of 2 counts of manufacturing, delivering of a controlled substance, greater than 4 grams, less than 200 grams, a first-degree felony, punishable by 5 years in prison. He remained in jail on Friday, surety bonds totaling $140,000. No Shave November event to benefit United Way Odessa. United Way of Odessa is inviting people to put down their razors, scissors, or clippers and grow out your facial hair for November No Shave. Join Ector County Sheriff's Department for No Shave November, benefiting United Way of Odessa. To participate in No Shave November, participants must donate $50, start with a fresh face at the beginning of the month, and donate your face until November 30th by not shaving. Proceeds benefit local programs that impact the lives of 1 in every 3 Odessans. Currently, the United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. Register and pay online at unitedwayodessa.org and select the No Shave November event tab. This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, November 5th. OPD seeking man following crash. The Odessa Police Department is asking for the public's help in finding a 31-year-old man they say used a vehicle to severely injure one man and hurt others. According to an OPD news release, officers and paramedics were dispatched to a major crash in the 1000 block of West Monahans Friday morning, but when they arrived, they discovered there was no accident. The police have obtained several felony warrants for William Earl Creighton Jr., who they alleged used a vehicle to hurt multiple people inside an apartment, severely damaging the apartment in the process, the news release said. One of the victims sustained severe injuries. Creighton abandoned the vehicle and fled the scene, according to the news release. If anyone has information regarding the whereabouts of Creighton, please contact the Odessa Police Department or Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. According to Ector County records, an assault family violence case against Creighton was dismissed in June 2010 because the alleged victim signed an affidavit of non-prosecution.
suspect in custody after fatal shooting. Law enforcement seeking another. Staff writer. A shooting at Pat's Place, 7405 Andrews Highway, left one person dead and another hospitalized and in surgery. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said after 11 p.m. Friday, two individuals entered Pat's Place and one individual shot two people. One person died and one was taken to the hospital. The suspect arrested is Nicholas James Thompson, 41. The deceased was 27-year-old Aaron Ramos. Griffiths said the next of kin had been notified. According to jail records, Thompson was in the Ector County Detention Center and has been charged with first-degree murder and no bond has been set yet. We did arrest an individual we believe to be the shooter this morning, November 5th. With the assistance of the Odessa Police Department, SWAT team, and Chris Negotiations team, Griffiths said. News release from the OPD said the team was able to get the suspect to peacefully turn himself in at about 6:30 a.m. Saturday in the 7200 block of Cross B. The investigation is ongoing, the release said. Authorities have been in contact with the other suspect who is going to be a witness.
This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, November 5th. November 8th, voting centers. Voting for the general and Ector County Utility District Election Day will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. November 8th at the following locations. United Market, 1350 East 8th Street. United Market, 2751 North County Road West. Chapel Hill Baptist Church Fellowship Hall, 1820 East 52nd Street. ECISD Facilities and Custodial Operations Foyer, 2225 West 8th Street. Ector County Coliseum, west end of Southwest Hallway, 4201 Andrews Highway. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church Foyer, 1603 North Grandview Avenue. First Church of the Nazarene Gymnasium, 2223 Lindale Drive. Gardendale Community Building, 4226 East Larkspur, Gardendale. Gethsemane Church Fellowship Hall, 8431 South Highway 385. Goldsmith Community Building, 301 Avenue H, Goldsmith. Kellis Turner Community Bank Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. Lincoln Tower Ballroom, 311 West 4th Street. Market Street, 4950 East 42nd Street. MCM Elegante Hotel, Hawaiian Ballroom, 5200 East University. Murray Fly Elementary, Portable Building, 11688 West Westview Drive. Northside Senior Center, Multipurpose Room, 1225 North Adams Street. Odessa Christian Faith Center, 180 Youth Building in the Sanctuary, 8828 Andrews Highway. Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clement Street. Sherwood Community Building, 4819 North Everglade Avenue. Slater Community Building, 1001 West 38th Street. St. Elizabeth's Catholic Church in the Gymnasium at 7601 North Grandview Avenue, and the Globe Theater at Odessa College at 2308 Shakespeare Road. This is Jane reading for the Odessa American for Saturday, November 5th. PPDC partners with Permian Basin STEPS for food bank donation. The Midland College Petroleum Professional Development Center, or PPDC, and Permian Basin STEPS will be gathering needed food items for the West Texas Food Bank at 8:30 a.m. during the November 8th STEPS meeting at the Midland College Scarborough Student Center Carrasco Room. Meeting attendees will contribute food and monetary donations, and staff from West Texas Food Bank will be on hand to receive the donations. This is the second year that the PPDC and STEPS have partnered for Holiday Food Drive. STEPS and Midland College share a strong focus to make a difference in the community by helping others, especially in a time of need such as the holiday season. Reaching out to help the community makes all of us stronger when we recognize how small gestures can make a tremendous impact on others' lives. Erin Van Evera Welch from Midland College, PPDC director, said in a news release, "All Permian Basin STEPS meetings are hosted by the Midland College PPDC and take place on the second Tuesday of every month from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the Midland College Scarborough Student Carrasco Room. Meetings consist of one or two guest speakers giving presentations pertaining to various safety topics, a safety case study discussion, and lessons learned for all attendees to participate in sharing firsthand safety lessons and tips. Most of the attendees have ties to the energy industry. However, the meeting is open to the public." This is Jane reading for the OA for Saturday, November 5th, from the obituary and death notice section. Carol Denise Burkett, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Carol Denise Burkett, age 60, passed away at her home in Fayetteville, Arkansas on October 29th. She was born on November 7th, 1961 in Odessa to Albert Adams and Frances Adams. She is survived by her best friend and husband of 38 years, Wesley Lewis Burkett Jr., her father Albert Adams, her mother Frances Adams, her brothers Randy Adams and Keith Adams, and her two sons, Trey Burkett and Cordell Burkett, and countless extended family. Her celebration of life will be held at Cross Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, on Saturday, November 12th at 2 p.m. Memorial services are arranged by Moore's Chapel of Fayetteville, Arkansas. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you make donations to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America or the American Cancer Society. You may sign the online guest book at www.berna-funeralhomes.com. In Odessa, Nelda S. Lee, 81, died Sunday, October 30th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Danny Lee Daniels, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, November 2nd. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Wednesday, November 9th, Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Clydell Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.